Good morning. There are people upstairs. Hey, hi. I'm going to have to actually recruit somebody then. Probably Andy. I'll recruit you in a minute. I'm married to a woman named Jill who, by the way, my name's Cor. I'm one of the associate pastors here at Hope, and I take people out for coffee. So if you haven't got coffee with me yet, you've been ripped off and you need to. So come find me afterwards. I'm married to a woman named Jill who's working in the nursery right now, but she is all about fun. She just loves having fun, and holidays are like, I mean, the climax. Like, everything is pointed towards holidays, and so she makes life around the holiday season a lot of fun. Like, we spent the past 4 days putting together a 1,000-piece puzzle, and we just, whenever we were home, we'd come back to it and be, like, starting to put pieces together, and we just, we enjoyed time with both sides of our family. My parents, my brother was up from Tennessee with his wife and son, and so we were able to spend time with them. And then we spent a day over at my in-laws, Jill's folks, down in Apple Valley, and we had a great time there. And it's just been a great time, a fun time. And nothing depicts this more than a moment that we had at the Wachter household. So we're all about kind of, you know, kind of scattered about the living room and the kitchen, and we're enjoying ourselves. I'm actually feeding Isaac. And I overhear a conversation taking place in the kitchen. My father-in-law, Steve, is talking to his son, Chris. Chris preached last week. For those of you who know, Chris and Jill are brother-sister. And there's a conversation being had with regards to pumpkin chiffon pie. It was getting low. The pumpkin chiffon was getting low. And they were debating about who was going to have this last piece. It was a huge piece. Who was going to have this last piece of pie? And so they are kind of debating back and forth their own merit for why they should be given the piece of pie. And then Chris, he just usurps any rule with regards to how Thanksgiving should operate. He just usurps all authority, all rules, and he writes his name on a piece of paper, and he goes and he slaps that on top of the pie and just says, Chris Wachter. He just labels the last piece of pie. You can't do that. You just can't do that. Am I right? That's not fair. You shouldn't be able to do that. So I come into the conversation. I love this type of pie. It's just a great. So I got to get in on this. But I'm feeding Isaac. So it gets to the point where they've debated long enough. I throw mine into the mix. And I think Chris takes part of the piece of pie that's left. And there's a little bit left over. And just to make sure that I could get that and my father-in-law wouldn't. I licked the top of it because I needed that piece of pie. I mean, so it was a ton of fun, and I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. We do something here at Hope every Thanksgiving. It's kind of a tradition. Your family might have traditions, but we go around and we actually share what we're thankful for, and we're going to do that right now. Andy, would you be willing to go upstairs in case there are people that are thankful upstairs? But we actually do this every year since Hope has started. We just kind of pass the mic. If there's something that you just want to share, maybe to encourage somebody, you know, what you're thankful to God for, we just kind of pass the mic to whoever feels led. So, anybody? Who's that first person going to be? Over there. Hey, Jay. I got one down here. Andy, hold on. I think it's on.
Hi, I'm Jay Tobin, yeah. And this is my daughter, Anya, one of two who we are very thankful for. But yesterday, for those of you who don't know, Anya was born with gastroschisis, and she's adopted. And so her medical bills were pretty significant. And yesterday, we got her medical bills, and close to about $300,000 that the insurance company covered. And as an unemployed seminary student, we praise God for insurance.
Amen. Awesome.
See. That's pretty hard to follow. So I'll just take it to the next level. I'm thankful for leftovers. That's pretty much it.
Okay. They are good. Mom? My mom?
Your mom. I am thankful for my three sons and my wonderful husband, and it's just a blessing to see the next generation, three more boys, come into the family and to have a family that we love and enjoy so much. It's a true blessing from God.
My name is Don Gerlach, and I just wanted to say thanks to the Lord for the last year. I've kind of started a walk getting closer to Him. I'm still way too much in control, but I can sense His presence, and I'm trying to have Him work in my life, and I'm really thankful for that.
Awesome.
Many of you know, but Nicole and I recently bought a house, and if you know us, that's a miracle in and of itself. And so, yeah, we are, she's not here right now, but we are overwhelmingly thankful for that, and we've seen God's hand every step of the way, and literally in every single part of it, so we're very thankful for that.
This is pretty simple, but I'm thankful for the snow. I hear so many people griping, saying, oh, why do we live here? And I had so much fun driving around when it snowed the other day. That was just like the highlight. I just was spinning all over the place, and I just had a ball, so that's what I'm thankful for.
Oh, you're the one I saw. Okay, yeah. Anybody else? All right. Great. Awesome. Anybody? Okay. Are you sure? Okay. Thanks, Andy. It's something we do around here, and it's just enjoyable to hear what God's done for you guys and what God's done over here. And Don, I think it just encourages other people. It encourages the body, the family here. And so thanks for sharing. I don't know if you guys experience it at all, but sometimes it's just downright hard to be thankful. Anybody experience that? I mean, it's just, you might look at your life and just, I just don't see a lot to be thankful for. There might be relational issues, maybe even as you went home or to some friends. Maybe you didn't experience the joy that Jill and I experienced going to our families. You might not have a loving home to go to for the holidays. It might be a downright challenging time, just difficult, just tedious, wanting to get through it, wanting to get to Monday. And we live in a culture where you're not taught to be thankful. You're actually taught to be discontent, wanting more stuff, more things, more gadgets, more technology, life somewhere else through some other means, and contentment or even thankfulness isn't talked about much. And I wanted to share the story. There's a guy I read online who has a blog, and you might have a blog, and a lot of college students have blogs, so I kind of keep track of kind of what's going on in their lives. And I came across one guy who kind of had a Thursday Thanksgiving kind of spiel, and I'm going to refer to it a couple times, but he writes this very simply: I'm thankful for the cold. See, this is not because I love winter sports or the outdoors or even getting all bundled up, although I do enjoy that every once in a while. It is more so because the cold helps me appreciate the warmth that spring and summer bring. If I never knew any better than just warmth, I think I would just take it for granted. Will you pray with me as we start to look at this whole idea of being thankful even when it's tough? Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name, thankful, God, for some of the stories we did hear. But God, for every positive story, every story where people's hearts are overflowing with thankfulness, God, I know that there are stories of heartbreak during this season. There's stories of pain, God, maybe even abuse. Relationships have been fractured. Desires, whether it relates to jobs or family, just haven't materialized for whatever reason. And God, in both of these situations, you call us to be thankful. God, help us to understand that better today during our time. And cultivate in us, in our hearts, in our lives, thankfulness for all that you've given us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are called to be thankful. The Bible talks about this in a ton of different places. And if I might go so far as to say, it's our duty. It's, if you are a follower of Christ, it's one of your duties to be thankful. Now, that it's tough to get our minds around that, having our job description, one of our duties, to be thankful. That does. It might be tough. It might not make a lot of sense. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In one version, it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I put several different translations. No matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Finally, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5, it's actually 18. In this verse, we're commanded. I mean, we're called. It's our duty. Give thanks. Give thanks. And in that, in all circumstances, in all circumstances. And that's where the difficulty lies. It's easy to be thankful when life is great. When you're loving your job, you're being challenged at your job, you enjoy it. When you enjoy your studies, when you're learning a lot and you're psyched about the stuff, much harder when you're over here. Much harder to be thankful. Much harder to observe this passage, which says, give thanks in all circumstances. Much more difficult. And by experience, I'm sure you guys know that. It's that much harder. I work with college students, and a lot of them ask me the question when we get together for coffee. I just want to know what God's will for my life is. It's like, oh, I can tell you that. No, I can't. But I understand what they're saying. It's, does God want me to be an engineer or a school teacher? And sometimes I help them with that, and many times I direct them a different way, and it's this way. Many times, I don't know if God wants you to be an engineer or a teacher. I don't know that. But there are certain things I know about God, and one of these things is that God's will for your life is that you be thankful. Like, that's what God desires from each of us, is that we would be thankful, that our hearts would be filled with thanksgiving towards Him. When you and I are faced with a myriad of circumstances, good, bad, ugly, and life experiences them all, it's God's desire that we'd be thankful, that we'd give Him thanks. Because here's the catch. God is the God of circumstances. You and I, as followers of Christ, we trust in God's providential control. That's a big way of just saying He's in charge of the circumstances. Big details, small details. God is there. Good, bad, and ugly, God is there. And so over and over again in the Scriptures, we're taught to be thankful. Coming back to the blogger, my friend here, listen to this. I'm thankful for the feeling of heartache, of missing someone. That feeling of sentiment that a little part of you is left behind. Maybe that sounds weird, but for me, it truly shows the people that mean the most to me. Interesting. This despair, this heartache, I would put kind of over here, saying, gosh, heartache stinks. It stinks. But this blogger, this guy that I know, he says, understand that points you to family and to friends that you love, that I care about. And so he's actually even thankful for this feeling. Ultimately, We talked a lot, some of the conversations that we had here about what we are thankful for. It points to other people in our lives. My mom shared that she's thankful for us, and we are definitely thankful for my mom and my dad and my mother-in-law and father-in-law right next to him. But we are thankful for one another. But in the Bible, a theme that you'll see over and over again is thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. I got several passages here. 1 Chronicles 16:8. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. We read that a couple weeks ago. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. Finally, 2 Corinthians 9, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And in this instance, gift is referring to God's surpassing grace. So thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, his surpassing grace. Over and over again in the Bible, we're called to be thankful towards God. And so we're left with this kind of paradox. Like, here's what we're called to do, what we're commanded to do is be thankful to God. And yet we wrestle because it's so difficult sometimes. Our life circumstances, as we see them, don't amount to being very thankful for very much. And so what do we do with this? I took time to look at just the definition of thanksgiving, thankfulness. And it says, in thanking someone, we're expressing gratitude to them. We express gratitude to them. So an antonym, thankless, would mean you're not expressing or feeling grateful, gratitude. Look at this, gratuitous. I don't know if I put it up there, but gratuitous means given or done free of charge. It's uncalled for, gratuitous. Being gratuitous means given or done free of charge, uncalled for. It's uncalled for. Somebody does something gratuitous to you, it's uncalled for, it's given. It's done free of charge. Which is interesting as I think about gratuity. Gratuity, I know gratuity very well. I was a server for 5 years at Don Pablo's. Don Pablo's, man, they got good food there. Ah, I haven't been there in a while. But gratuity, if you take this version, it shouldn't be expected. Gratuity is actually something uncalled for, done free of charge. It's a means given. But yet in our culture, I'm a server. You're a server. It's expected, baby. One out of every 7, 15%, I prefer 20, but 15% will do. Like, it's expected. It's just part of our culture now. Jill and I, we went to Applebee's. One of the girls in Hope on Campus had given us a gift card, and so we went to Applebee's, and we did the curbside carryout thing. Have you guys ever done that? That is good stuff. Like, pull up, they walk out in the cold, lower the window, hey, thanks. I don't know the whole, like, ins and outs of this curbside takeaway, like, if tip is necessary. I mean, you probably should clue me in on this, because we handed that guy the gift card, and it was like $15 gift card, and we had, like, $14.96. We're like, yeah, we're good to go. And he kind of looked at us like, 4 cents, bro, 4 cents, that's all I'm getting. It's like, I don't know, is there, like, a procedure? Like, is this a tipping position? Nick, you're laughing, man. Am I supposed to tip that guy? I don't know. But it's just, like, from The expression in his face is like, it's expected, brother. It's just like, you're not getting it. But gratuities become that way. Like, if you get to be a party of 8 or more, gratuity is added. You don't have any choice. You're going to pay that tip. And so I think understanding it in that light, that really gratuity, gratuitous, thankfulness, I'm kind of using them interchangeably. Somebody's done something. Somebody said something. That's uncalled for. It's been given free of charge. There's nothing you can do to pay them back. There's nothing I can do for my dad to pay him back for being my dad. I can't do anything. There's only one person in this world that's been my dad, and it's Mike Shimoleski. I can't do anything. What he did was uncalled for. It was given free of charge. I can't do anything for that, to respond to that. I can't give them enough money. I can't mow enough lawns. I can't work at 674 Mercury Drive enough to help them. It's just, all I can do is respond with thankfulness. All I can do is respond with thankfulness, with a thankful heart. And I think in that lies the key to when it's difficult, when life circumstances are difficult. And over here, to being called, where it's a duty to be thankful. I think in it lies the fact that our circumstances and what God has done for us, they far surpass. We can't do anything to have a relationship with God. We can't do anything to have a mother or father. I mean, there are certain things where the only response we have is thankfulness. That's the only option. And I want to take time to go back and look at a couple of the verses we breezed past. There are certain things that we should be thankful to God for, because without Him and His giving of it, there's no chance. We have no shot of having a relationship with God. Think if you could do this on your own. Think about that. Can I do this on my own? Do I need somebody to help me with it so that I just respond with thankfulness? Or could I actually do this on my own and then thanks wouldn't be necessary because I'd just do it? Look at Hebrews 12:28. God is giving you a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Can you get that by yourself? 1 Corinthians 15:57. He gives us the victory through Lord Jesus Christ. Can you get that on your own? In this case, it's referring back to Jesus Christ rising from the dead, having a victory over death itself. Can you get that on your own? I'm asking, can you do that on your own? Look at 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of God. Can you do that on your own? Are you able, apart from God, to do that? And then thanks be to God for His surpassing grace. I mean, this is just stuff that God's done for us. He's given us grace. He's given us an indescribable gift. He has given us a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The only response is thankfulness. I want to point you to Ephesians 1 and 2, and we won't have time to look at all of it. We spent some time there in my education hour class. I mean, it's just like, we got no shot. We got no shot. Listen to this. What can you do in light of this? Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. I mean, you're toast. Like one verse is just like, phew, toast. I got no shot. No way of relating to God. It says, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. And the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Listen to this. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. We've all been there. We followed its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, listen to this. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. What? But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. God made you alive in Christ even when you were dead. Can you do that apart from Him? Are you able to do that on your own? There's no chance. We got no shot. And interesting, if you go back to chapter 1, this was God's good pleasure. Where is it? He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure. Like, it was God's good pleasure to reveal this to you, to send Jesus Christ, to be your sin bearer, to make you alive even when you were dead. You were totally dead. No chance. And in that, God makes you alive. There are certain things that we just, I want to speak to the men right now, like, men, most of the time we think that there's a way. If there's a way, I'll find it. That's, I mean, you know, driving situation, like, I'll find it. I'll get there some way. We got no shot apart from God. You can't make yourself alive when you're dead. You need help. You need help from God. Over and over again in the Bible, we're called to have thanks to God. And many times, it's in the light of difficult circumstances, horrendous circumstances, persecution, suffering. That was common in the Bible, that these writers are saying, even in that, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his victory in the midst of circumstances, despite circumstances. One more time with my blogger friend. Listen to how he ends his little blurb this day. I'm so unbelievably thankful that Jesus loves me just the way I am, that I do not need to impress him with the things I have done or am doing to receive his unbelievable free gift of forgiveness and eternal life. I am so thankful that it has nothing to do with me, but everything to do with him. Being thankful is a duty, and I would add that it's an honor, it's a privilege. With all that God has done, we're called to it, but yet we welcome that gift of being thankful, being called to be thankful. We welcome it. It's both a privilege and an honor. Will you pray with me? Father God, I'm thankful for this brother's words. There's just nothing that we can do, God. There's certain points of life where we throw up our hands and we're just perplexed. We're lost. We can't go any further. And it's especially true with regards to you with spiritual life, God. Your word makes it clear that we are dead. And in that, you came and made us alive with Christ. And with that being said, we give you thanks. God, not only in that, but as it trickles down to all the circumstances of our life, we give you thanks. You are the God of circumstances. God, would you continue over this weekend and this week, as we approach the holiday season, the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, would you cultivate in our hearts thankfulness? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.